Welcome to The Business Wilderness, a podcast focused on the world of entrepreneurs and the best practices they need to follow to navigate the complex world of business. We feature thought-provoking topics and industry experts on every show.
Welcome to The Business Wilderness. My name is Ahmed, and today we have a very special guest, Mr. Koshan from String, a blockchain technology platform. Koshan, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Ahmed?
I am fantastic. Mr. Koshan, let's go back in time. Who was Koshan as a young man at school?
Okay, so I went to Wake Forest University. I was a history major. I also minored in entrepreneurship and math. I did a liberal arts degree at a really hard school. And I got out of there and went down to Atlanta and went to a coding boot camp and happened to build a set of encrypted software that basically sent encrypted messages between apps, similar to WhatsApp. Now all that code is very commonly open source and you can access it, but I built something like that. And then I got into the startup space after that boot camp, learning like simple stuff, but then really accelerating. So you kind of find your home sometimes, like, when you apply yourself to things, or it is for you. So like that bootcamp at Digital Crafts was awesome. And then I worked for a few startups in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's just the whole time there's a thirst of meditation for entrepreneurship and then bringing the code together with it made me feel like really invulnerable. And I had a lot to learn at that time. And so I came to Raleigh, North Carolina, and I thought I was going to launch my startup. I thought I had a deal. I thought I was going to put my lab up, and everything didn't work out then because I didn't have an initial capital. I also like struggled to keep up the relationships that I needed to make sure that I was dealing with the funding. And I don't know if you felt that before, Ahmed, but it was a pretty hard time in that sense. So I picked up jobs in the blockchain and I was working with Hyperledger Fabric, which is a technology that was based with IBM, and it's for consensus and having a blockchain with a private network. And this was also the time that Ethereum was blowing up and everybody was going crazy then. And if you were into the stuff, you were going really crazy because the markets don't stop. And there are hundreds of white papers coming out and people are just putting mad amounts of capital. And if you've been in the industry for a while and you knew about what was going on, people were going nuts. There's crypto kitties. There was excitement. And that drove me kind of like, okay, I'm launching my ERC-20 in 2017. And actually, like, I kind of, you know, that excitement and everything in a way held me back in understanding exactly how everything worked. And to understand all that is important before you go forward with it. And luckily I had great people around me to make sure that I didn't push towards something that I didn't even have all the frameworks, the legality, everything necessary to get into the business. And, you know, and that was kind of the dream that went to bed, but I didn't stop entrepreneurship. I started Fractal. And we started basically servicing clients in the IoT, the AI, and blockchain space. And, you know, at first, blockchain after 2017 was just dead. So I was like, okay, well, we'll do AI and we'll do IoT. And that's when we started to add people that were quality developers, but we didn't have anybody in the executive staff. And in 2020, I met a guy who's, you know, former, you know, he's just been in technology all his life, and he basically is part of all these leading organizations that create standards for technology. And we happened to add Ed into our company, luckily, and he serves as our CSO. But in a way, like, he kind of keeps an eye on how we implement and do things and do things fully. And it makes me a better person in a way, too. And so then we launched this NFT marketplace kind of thing, and we had a substrate based chain. And I had the philosophy of, I don't want community. to be part of anything until we have a product. Because when community runs in, they flood your environment, and they don't, it's really hard to be an executive trying to figure out what somebody should do if you have 1,000 or 100 people in there. So we were a very small, tight-knit team building this NFT marketplace. And what we realized at that point was that, well, NFT marketplace is a product. And what we're really passionate about is building this chain. Like, if you want to deploy a public NFT, you can use IPFS and you can use Ethereum, and those are doing great. But we spent about 6 months of every day working 10 hours, reading research protocols, reading everything, and learning exactly how we could affect the marketplace. And that was when String really came to us. And like, you know, I'd wake up and I'd have the name to the blockchain, and I would wake up and like the next thing would start to happen. And basically String in itself is what, where we are now. Yeah. And it's a blockchain.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
So you went from history, liberal arts, to blockchain.
Yeah.
What a transition.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Take me through that feeling, please. How you went from studying all these majors at college that have nothing to do with what you're currently working on. Were you nervous? Were you scared? What was going through your mind?
I felt terrible. Like having $60,000 of student loans and like thinking that my liberal arts degree was a whole waste of time and not being able to like have achieved what I wanted to do. But then, if you really start to look at yourself philosophically and what you actually learn, you can start to see that, like, okay, history, take it for what it is. It's everything that exists today. So if there's cryptographic history or research paper history or mathematical history, all those things apply to the current moment. And so if you start to understand how anything operates, you can get to the edge of the market and apply the best and greatest trends.
Interesting. So we're in the world of blockchain. We've built our own chain, our own platform, our own network. What are you currently seeing? I mean, everyone's talking about NFTs. Everyone's talking about blockchain. Everybody wants to get involved. Everybody wants to incorporate blockchain into their current platform somehow. Well, what are you seeing? Tell us from an insider's perspective.
I think that the community is pushing the financial side really, really hard. And where we are at a stage is that the adoption of decentralized applications is at still at 0.001% of the population of the United of the whole world.
Well,
so it's like, I think there's 1 million DApp consistent users, and a lot of them use the same sets of applications, and they all it's there's still a very small user base. And I think what's really important is building something that's going to actually have the effect that you want it to be really successful. I think that there's many opportunities in the space to create value. And those can be very specific use cases, from like a pooled derivative trading, basically, for a stable coin, creating a decentralized stable coin. That's like one small market example, or it could be using a set of proxy re-encryption. And, you know, we see that as like booms and busts, because people get money, they struggle with liquidity, they do get Lambos, they get nice things. And what happens is they're focused on that one research paper that made their blockchain this, and they don't understand that, like, it's really about functionality and what it's going to do for the customer. I mean, if you change it tomorrow, fucking change it tomorrow. Don't ride an old car. So like our philosophy is taking that classical music and these old cars repainted and building something like new and better.
Do you think people are launching poo coins and all these different methods built on the blockchain has hindered that growth, hindered the user adoption? Because you see, people will launch a coin, you'll have all this buy-in from their communities, and I'll go to all these influencers and whatnot, and then when they launch, the price will go up twofold, threefold. Sometimes if they're really invested in their marketing and their and the influencer marketing, it'll go up a lot more than that. So it becomes all of a sudden like a pump and dump. And then you go from zero to 100, then boom, straight back down. So the ones that know make their money. The ones that don't know lose it. And then even when it doesn't go back down to zero, it goes back down to where it started. Then you have money that's been invested that's just stale. And then and then you're watching this vicious cycle from person to person to person. Do you believe, in your opinion, that has hindered the adoption of crypto?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all associated with mechanisms like automated wash trading and things like that. Like, this is not something that's new as a phenomena, but what we're seeing here is that what the point that I really was thinking about here, and I forgot it a little bit, but it's that 99% of crypto is owned by the 1% of the population. So the wealth distribution of crypto is actually greater than what it is of a fiat currency. So we need to focus on, like we're not trying to create another ICO and we're not trying to create another SPAC. We want something where the currency started from a fundamental position where it was an operating system for a larger amount of people. I think that seeing the diversity in the chains, like, think about it. There are not that many good 10x coders, 100x coders, or blockchain developers. So when you see them spread around in a ring of ERC20 guys, it's great that they have communities and it's great they're connected to the open source developers, but they're not connected to the community. And so, like, the thing is they're not connected to the community, and then their talent is distributed across all these chains. And the reality is that it doesn't take long for us to adopt something and something else, in which that's not our intention. We're actually playing very nice with everything that we do. But, like, you know, the problem is that they struggle to have an interconnected set of services that are beyond what these simple things. Like, we need remediation. I need a private account. I need a private, you know, contract. Because people are front running derivative trading to say, okay, he's putting a position here. If we know he's putting a position here, we can do this. Like, it's there are a lot of needs still, and those are out there to be solved. And there's a lot of bouginess sometimes from people in the industry because they're so stuck in this research paper demand versus the reality is that we want decentralized and private data because our children and our next generations are much better off with a better understanding of how it really affects the other person. Like, that's why we're in creating these systems, is because people shouldn't control those systems in the way they are right now. So, like, that problem is, like, what we need to solve.
So you're basically saying that, like with Web 2.0, we had all these e-commerce, like Shopify, for example, right? Shopify built the e-commerce component. Then their community started building all these different other components of the ecosystem, making it easier to integrate, making it easier to basically link up payment methods. So the different aspects of each of that ecosystem got built out over time. You're saying on the blockchain side, that's not happening enough.
Yeah, because it's decentralized development. When you decentralize development, over centralizing how you're going to target a problem, it's harder to solve because you're open governments of, like, Jeopardy based populate, or, you know, in, or, you know, like, sorry, wheel of, sorry, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, asking the crowd, you know?
All right. Yep. Awesome. Moving on to our next question. You've gone through a bit of a journey. I mean, studying what you thought would have been your future to moving to a whole new world that you discovered as you went on. What would you say, could you share with us a piece of advice or a moment that you've been through during this journey that's really changed the way you look at things, that's really changed the way you go about things?
Well, I had a lot of fortunate things happen, and I can't say that the one words is going to be the difference, but I said, keep knocking at the door. And like, that's our cultural philosophy. And don't believe what someone tells you is the standard for something, because there's always something that can be better. So just keep looking and keep digging into the solution and be curious, and you might come upon the right set of knowledge to put yourself where you want to be.
Would you say that's the biggest lesson you've learned during your journey?
Well, as someone who's still like at the edge and like struggling to like, you know, always like push it over the line, you know, like in a way, not struggling, but like we're trying to push everything up the line. Like, I mean, yeah, it's just something that you have to commit to and really go at. Like, I mean, there's not very many other options.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And finally, I'd like to thank you very much for joining me on the show. You've shared a ton of insight with us. Very informative, very, very interesting in the way you had the transition from what you studied to what you went on to then do in your career. If anybody has any questions or would like to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
I'm always open to a WhatsApp text or a Signal text at +1 910-922-7079. You know, the way that I communicated now, I hope the community or someone who's interested in or thinks the same way of thinking beyond and trying to do different things will be interested. And then you can also look us up or email us at contact@ftnow.us. That'd be really cool. I mean, we're going to be putting out stuff, and really excited to be part of the community.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man himself, aka the Ace. Thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness.
Thanks for listening to the Business Wilderness. Subscribe to our show for the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more information, check out our website at businesswilderness.com.